welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast. If you love tennis and want to improve your game, this podcast is for you. Whether it's technique, strategy, equipment, or the mental game, tennis professional Ian Westerman is here to make you a better player. And now, here's Ian.
Hi, and welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast, your place for free, expert tennis instruction that can truly help you improve your game. Well, today on the podcast, I have a guest. He's a good friend of mine. We played college tennis together, and we're going to discuss losing. We're going to talk about what you can learn from losing and why it's an important part of your progress as a tennis player. And we're also going to discuss emotional topics and mental tennis topics. Is it okay to be upset after a loss? And how does that work in along with improving yourself through competition and losing specifically? So sit back, relax, and get ready for some great tennis instruction.
And now it's time for the Essential Tennis Focus topic of the week.
My guest today on the podcast is Jason Cole. Jason and I went to college together at Ferris State University in Michigan. While there, he was ranked as high as number two nationally in doubles in Division II. After college, he traveled Europe and played futures tournaments. And after the futures, he also helped coach at the University of Virginia, who was ranked as high as number one in the country in Division I. So, Jay, it's great to have you here today. I'm really excited that you're able to join me here on the podcast. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Well, recently, Jason, along with a couple other players from college that knew Jason and I, have joined the forums at EssentialTennis.com, which I'm really excited about because they're adding some more depth to the forums. They're all players that have a lot of experience and are helping me answer questions from other people who are posting. Recently, there was a topic having to do with losing, and Jason and I had a phone conversation about a week ago and decided it would be a great topic for the podcast. So the first topic we're going to discuss is, what can we learn from losing? When we go out and compete and obviously don't win every time, what is it that we can take away from losing, even during the match? What can we learn from the points and overall the matches that we lose? What do you think, Jason?
Well, you know, it's just the fact that it's so much easier after you lose to really think about and evaluate what's just happened to you.
Okay.
You know, you can figure out what you've done that worked, what didn't work. Hopefully it upsets you to the point where you want to figure out a way to win again next time. Whereas when you win, at least for me, it's, hey, I won, let's go get pizza. Awesome.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It really blossoms a lot of thought, which I don't think comes for most people after a win.
Sure. Well, it seems like recently in our culture here in America, kids and young people have been starting to be told that it's okay to lose. In fact, not only that, but here's a trophy and everybody gets the same trophy because you guys are all winners kind of thing.
That sounds about right. You know, it's funny. I always hear with juniors and stuff, not so much with the college kids because we'd be coaching them, but you hear them lose and then their mom comes over and says, oh, it's okay. You know, you played great. Don't worry about it. But I would never do that sort of thing to a player. I like them to sit there and be mad for a little while and hope that some constructive thought is going through their minds and, you know, let them be upset. Obviously, you wouldn't want them to act like a jerk, but,
sure.
You know, if someone loses that I'm coaching, give them some time and hope that they're mad and then hope that they're ready to talk about it and figure out how to not lose next time.
Yeah, absolutely. In the past, I've recommended to my listeners of the podcast, it's a good idea to keep a journal in your bag to kind of take notes on things to work on the practice court next time they go out. Is that something that you think would be a good idea to be able to kind of get those thoughts right after a match where you didn't perform very well?
Absolutely. You know, it's funny. With most higher level guys I've worked with, after a loss, they remember everything about it. They remember what worked, what didn't work, how the guy beat him, what the score was, pretty much every point that you can review with them. After a win, a lot of times they don't even remember the guy's name a couple weeks later. So, you know, if you don't have that sort of player mentality where you remember everything that happened in a match, then you should certainly find a way to write it down or keep a note of it. You know, you can be helped by getting beat by a good player because they've probably found your weakness. And so that's invaluable. If you don't know it, see how people are beating you and then work on it.
Sure. Well, how in the match itself, in your opinion, how closely or not closely should somebody be taking actually conscious thought as to, like, in between points, right? I lost, you know, that specific point. I'm, you know, in between points. How much should players be trying to evaluate, or should it be more kind of autopilot and not trying to overanalyze everything?
Well, you know, I think this varies a bit on the person.
Okay.
I think that you should be thinking every single point. If somebody beats me with a down-the-line passing shot, I come up to net again, and then get beat down the line again, it's not going to happen the third time.
Okay.
They're going to beat me cross-court. And, you know, so many people, especially at lower levels of tennis, have glaring weaknesses and glaring strengths, like passing shots, for example. They prefer to pass down the line rather than cross-court or vice versa.
Sure.
And, you know, picking that up sooner rather than later can be the difference between winning 1-1 and in a tiebreak.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
That, you know, that being said, on the same token, even if they pass you both ways, which obviously everybody can do, you want to figure out what they prefer. So when break point comes along or tiebreaker comes along, you have an advantage.
Yeah. No, I agree. So basically, kind of, you know, from a point to point basis, players can learn a lot from losing just right off the bat as soon as the point's over. Okay, what went wrong there? What mistake did I make? Or like what you're saying, what did my opponent do especially well that I lost that point? But you're right, at like a, you know, 3-0 to 3-5 level, watching competition, it's kind of a lot of times just carbon copy points. One team will be particularly good at a certain skill or maybe strategy, and you just kind of see that for like an hour and a half, like the same things over and over. So yeah, definitely being aware of what's going on, I think, is very important. Any tips on being, I mean, is it just a matter of deciding, okay, I'm going to be aware of what's going on here from point to point, or do you have any tips on identifying those things more easily?
Well, you know, it's funny. I think that really ties into the subject of hating to lose. For
sure.
Me, when I do anything, whether it's a coin toss, whatever, if I hate losing, I'm really focusing and thinking about how I can somehow find that way to win. And I think too many people are focused on their technique during a match rather than finding that, you know, that little bit of an advantage, whatever, that leg up, wherever it may be. And, you know, I think you really hit it on the head just a second ago when you said that you're thinking about the player. Every match, and this is, of course, talking about winning matches, not necessarily improving your game, though it is. You know, every match, every point, it's about how you beat the other guy or the other guy loses.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily how you win, because that is the hardest way to go about it. And as I mentioned a couple times on the forums, you never really play a match where you hit 30% winners. Not
sure.
Going to happen. You got to rake in that 70% wherever you can find it.
So you're saying, rather than be really preoccupied with yourself and maybe technical things that are going on with your strokes, a large percentage of our focus should be placed on our opponent instead to see exactly what they're doing?
Right, exactly. Well, hopefully we know what we bring to the table. We practice enough. You know, as you start to get your technique down, obviously there's time to practice and improve technique. But once you get that, you know what you're bringing. And so whether or not you have a good day, you still know what is in your realm to do. And you've
sure.
got to find a way to use what you're bringing to the table to beat what they have. You know, you're not just going to magically have an awesome forehand one day. Find a way to beat them with your normal strokes.
Sure. makes sense. And I think that it's worth noting, and a lot of people, a lot of amateur players don't understand this, but even at the professional level, usually a pretty high percentage of points end with somebody just making a mistake, just screwing up and making an unforced error. I know that in general, watching professional matches, if it's over 50% winners to unforced errors for either player, winner meaning a shot that's not touched by their opponent, that's a pretty high level match. In general, is that accurate?
Oh, yeah. If you get to see a match at any level, which the only level you're going to see it would be professional or very top college, yeah, and you're seeing more winners than unforced errors, you really have been treated to a great match, because that is, you know, even for Federer, that is rare. And on sure. the women's side, it's almost, you know, it's almost happening.
Yeah, yeah, it doesn't happen as often. So it stands to reason there that it's important to notice when your opponent makes mistakes, and I guess maybe even more importantly, when they don't make mistakes, you know, in what point situation are they just steady, and it's kind of their bread and butter. It seems to be getting more and more complicated, Jay. We have a lot of things to pay attention to. And it's funny, I'll get questions sometimes through the website or through email about strategy. And the questions almost always go something like, so what's the best strategy to play in tennis? And that's it.
And, you have the answer for that?
I wish I did. If I could package that and sell it for $99.95, I think I'd be doing all right. But yeah, there's just so many variables. With you and I talking back and forth, it should be obvious to any listeners that tennis is hard. It's very difficult, and you can't just take one aspect or part of the game and just use it and just win. Sometimes you can, if your opponent is not very good compared to you, but usually it's a very complex kind of layering of skills back and forth.
Well, that's right. It's funny, but if you win 51% of the points, you win the match 6-4, 6-4.
Yeah.
So basically,
yeah,
you're trying as hard as you can to find something you can do that is better than what they do 51% of the time.
So
and
even
if you do that, abuse it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So you're saying even if you can just find one or two things you can do 1% better, you can come out on top.
If you're smart enough to find a way to get there, you know, I've played plenty of guys who had way better ground strokes, way better passing shots. They didn't really come to net, but, you know, I'd find a way. Maybe they didn't like a slice backhand. And when I figure that out, and maybe, you know, instead of losing 40% or 60% of the points, now I'm all of a sudden winning 52. Well, that's good. I'm slicing backhands all day long, and I have no reason to come over one after that.
Sure. Well, this is great. Yeah, great discussion, Jay. And it's all about being aware of what's going on, everybody. Don't get caught up in your own technique, in things that are going on with your own strokes. Now, certainly, and Jay, tell me if you think I'm wrong on this. I mean, if for example, your forehand ground stroke has gone out long 4 times in a row, in between that point and the next one, yeah, you probably want to put some thought into how you can hopefully try to mend that during the next point. But beyond any glaring, you know, repeatable mistakes over and over, there really shouldn't be any thought to technique, should there?
No, you know, I once read this somewhere, and I can't really quote where. I don't remember, but they say that after a point you have time to recover, you should spend about 3 seconds deciding what you have done wrong after losing the point. So in your example, how you missed the forehand long, did you not close your racket face? You know, did you hit it too flat? What happened there?
Sure.
Spend about 3 seconds on that, and the next 20 seconds worrying about what you're going to do to win the next point. Or more importantly, in my perspective, how you're going to make the other guy lose the next point.
I like that. It seems kind of contradictory to how so many people perform on the court. It seems that that would probably be opposite for a lot of people. Is crap, you know, let's analyze the stroke real quick and figure out how I'm going to change the technique, rather than thinking into the future, like you're saying, and kind of making a battle plan for the next point. I guess dwelling in the past is not really going to help future results, is it?
I've never. There's a very rare person that plays better when they get angry, when they get upset with themselves or disappointed. And I won't say I've never seen it, but I'm guessing for most of the listeners, that's not the way to go. You know, you miss an easy shot, spend your 2 seconds saying, oh, yeah, I swung too much on that volley. And then, you know, think of the positive. Hey, you got an easy volley. How did you just get yourself in that position? Because even though you just missed it, you're going to win a big percentage of that point, hopefully.
Sure. Definitely.
Too many times. It's funny. Sorry to interrupt you there.
No, go ahead.
Teaching some ladies, I get them to rush the net and they charge in and they win like 5 points in a row and then all of a sudden they lob them. And they lose 1 point because they got lobbed, and then all of a sudden, now we can't go in, they lob me.
Yep.
You're like, wait a minute, you're winning 90% of the points from up there. Yeah, but she lobbed me. Okay.
Yeah, Jay, having the same kind of doubles style as you do, being incredibly aggressive positionally and getting in as fast as possible. Yeah, that's definitely one of my top thorns in my side. And in teaching lower level doubles is the stupid lob. And people are so worried about it. We could probably talk a half an hour about that, so I won't get off topic. But yeah, the point being, so focus on the good, you know, consider what happened poorly and get that over quickly. And then as quickly as possible, move your attention to what you have to do next and take the best out of the experience of losing that individual point, and move forwards and try to, I guess, just improve your game improve your strategy rather 1 point at a time as you learn what works and what doesn't.
Well, certainly. And, you know, to get back kind of what we were talking about with losing, if I'm going to lose and I've lost far too many times, you know, you should go down kicking and screaming. You should try everything. Throw slices, throw moon balls, push, try and go for winners, you know, serve and volley. Even if you're not good at this stuff, make sure that your opponent is. If you come off the court and tell me you've lost, I'm going to ask if your opponent can handle a low slice backhand. Can they handle high to their backhand?
Yeah.
What did they do when you chip and charged off their serve? What did you do when you pushed the ball in the middle of the court? You know, you've got to make sure that your opponent is better than you at everything.
Yeah.
And if they're not, then you should win.
That's, yeah, excellent point. I'm very guilty, especially in singles, of just being stubborn and going out and right out of the gate, being aggressive at what I feel I'm good at, and then kind of regardless of immediate results from point to point, just continuing to just go all out at what I think is, okay, this is my game and I'm not going to deviate whatsoever. How can we get out of that trap besides not being so stubborn?
Well, you know, one thing I've heard of, I've never done it myself, but I've heard of people taking a checklist out and saying, okay, could they beat me with, you know, how do they like it when I slice? And not just once, how do they like it when I slice 5 times in a row?
Yeah.
How do they like it when I lob balls? How do they like it when I push to the middle? How do they like it when I attack their forehand? Or how good is their running backhand? You know, I have a checklist of about 20 things. And if you can see it 5 or 6 times, like, yeah, this guy, Pete Sampras here, beat me on the running forehand 5 times. I can't handle it.
Oh, crap.
Then, you know, check that one off and find a different way. But if you're playing Pete and you come in on his backhand, odds are you're going to do a little bit. And maybe you can abuse that.
Nice. All right. Well, something else we can put on our kind of tennis diary or tennis Bible there, along with things to work on next time you practice. Yeah, absolutely. Figure out what works, what doesn't, and got to be aware of it if possible. Yeah. Or if necessary, I write it down if that's what it takes. But let's move on to our second topic, Jay. That great discussion there on what we can learn from losing, and got a lot of talk in there about how to avoid losing in general by strategizing and just by paying attention in general. Now let's talk about more an attitude or emotional side of tennis, more mental tennis. You and I were talking about earlier, I think it was last week, why it seems like recently in our culture, people have been starting to tell kids, you know, younger people, that losing is perfectly fine. And yes, we just spent a lot of time discussing what you can learn from losing, and so it's not all bad, obviously. But should we then want to lose since we can learn from it?
Obviously not. You know, I think if you want to lose, that's just such a passive attitude that when it's the same sort of thing in a fight. If you have one guy who just assumes he's going to win and has nothing to lose and then doesn't care, and you have another guy who's maybe significantly smaller, but you put his life on the line, the little guy wins every time.
Sure.
Yeah. Now, obviously, you know, as a smart person, you know your life's not on the line. You're playing a sport, just a game probably for most people. But, you know, whoever wants it more takes it almost all the time.
The Essential Tennis Podcast is brought to you by
Bridgewater Medical Group. Is a multi-specialty medical group located in Bridgewater, New Jersey, and is your home for primary care, gastroenterology, sports medicine, and general internal medicine. They offer a broad array of on-site, state-of-the-art services to make your healthcare experience more pleasurable. Scheduled appointments are preferred, but physician assistants are available for walk-in care. For more information, call Bridgewater Medical Group at 908-722-0808.
For more information on sponsors of the Essential Tennis Podcast or to become a sponsor, visit www.essentialtennis.com.
So what about after the match then? When you've really put everything you've got into it physically and emotionally and mentally, you've tried your best, but as we all know, that doesn't mean you're going to win. I mean, you could still be playing somebody who's just playing better than you. That happens all the time. Is it wrong to, after a fight like that, a tennis fight, is it wrong then to be emotionally, you know, down on yourself and dejected? Can that be constructive, or is that just too negative?
No, I think it's very constructive. I think you should be. You know, so much of this, and this is one of the really big things that I can't stress enough, it's all about confidence.
Yeah.
You know, if you have the match and you're okay with it, odds are you just said to yourself, well, that guy's a good player. I probably should lose to him. Or something of that nature to accept it. The best players I've been around, when they lose a match, they can't even believe it. They have no idea how they just lost. And maybe they did play someone better than them, but they don't know it. You know, if you say, well, you lost because you're not as good, they're going to tell you you're a complete fool. And, you know, that sort of confidence, you just can't buy that. You take a million lessons, you can't buy that confidence. And you need the win. Not only the win builds your confidence for winning more, but by winning you get confidence to make every shot you hit. You know, if you're serving out of your mind, you're probably going to have better confidence on your ground strokes and volleys to follow.
Sure, yeah.
You just can't buy that. You can't do anything but win enough to build that up.
So going off and pouting for a short amount of time, that's perfectly healthy, you're saying?
In my opinion, yes. I mean, I don't think you should be a baby. Obviously, you don't necessarily need to cry about it, but I would way rather see somebody upset in a corner, you know, on the verge of crying than smiling and laughing and grabbing something to eat.
Because that just shows you that they just wanted it that bad, and they're probably going to go out and work that much harder the next day, right?
That's right. I mean, you can't make people want something. I haven't found a way.
Sure.
Yeah, to make somebody want something that badly. So, you know, whether you know, if you're somebody who doesn't care that much, I don't know if you can turn that switch on. I don't know if you've got that inside yourself, but certainly if you've got a friend or a kid or something like that that just lost, you know, give them some time. Let them act like a child or whatever. Let them be upset. That's acceptable. All the pros do it.
Really? You think most of the pros kind of sulk after a tough loss?
Absolutely. I mean, even Federer, as good as he is with his press conferences afterwards, he's going into that locker room and he's not coming out for a while. I mean, and if you asked him, why'd you lose? He's going to say, well, I don't know. I can't think, I shouldn't have lost. And then he's going to think about it, figure out a way.
You mean obviously outside the press room after he's told the reporters, oh, my opponent, you know, played great, blah, blah, blah. You think there's probably a different Roger in the locker room afterwards?
No question, or he would be not even in the top 100 if he wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't have the attitude where you're upset after a loss, then you're just not going to be that good. You better be a lot more talented than somebody to beat him.
Gotcha. Good stuff. Well, so where do you draw the line, do you think, Jason? If it's okay to be kind of dejected and mentally upset, or rather emotionally upset after a loss where you've tried your best and, you know, you just weren't good enough for whatever reason. Is it unhealthy after a certain point? You know, certainly 5-10 minutes after the match, you might still be upset. But what if 3 days later, that's still bothering you? Where do you draw the line of letting that loss matter to you or bother you?
Well, we lost, UVA lost to Georgia in the semifinals last year in May, and I'm not over it yet. It still bothers me every time I think about it. So, you know, I don't know that there is a line. I think as long as you're thinking about it and cognizant, then you can gain things from it as long as possible. Now, every time I step on a court, if I was competing, then that wouldn't be in my mind. Obviously, you know, you're focused on how you're going to win this next match. So I would say then, you know, pout about it, be mad about losing, but when the next point's getting ready to be played, you better be 100% focused and ready to roll.
Okay. So immediately after or between matches, perfectly fine to let it bother you. And in fact, that probably fuels thought about it and trying to work on different things, reasons why you lost to improve them. But once it comes time to perform again, like you were saying before, very few people in either of our experience, myself included, play well when they're emotionally down and angry and upset. So basically, off the court, it's fine to learn from it, let it bother you. But once you step back on the playing court, you got to put it away.
Yeah, well, the fact is, if you're playing somebody who's near your ability, then you probably need to bring 100% of your game. And,
sure.
You know, all that means is about 20% of your strokes and your physical ability, and 80% is mind. So if you're not bringing that 80%, you're putting yourself at a pretty strong disadvantage.
Makes sense. All right, well, Jay, we're just about out of time here. Anything else on any of these topics that you'd like to go over again, or anything else we haven't covered that you want to talk about before we wrap up?
Well, I wouldn't mind expanding on the confidence thing. You know, I can't stress enough how important it is to not lose, to win. I am constantly teaching a bunch of kids who are good players, and when I play against them, say in baseline games, 11-point games, I always play right at their level. I always beat them like 11-9 or 7-5,
sure.
Always by like 1 or 2 points. And it's not that I pick up my game at the end. It's that I know I'm going to win, and they think I'm going to win. And so there it is. That's just the difference. All of a sudden, they miss a shot that they haven't missed yet. I keep hitting the exact same way, and I win. Now, obviously, there's a bit of disparity in level there. The same thing happens when you walk onto a court with any opponent. You know, maybe you look at their ranking or something and say, oh, my God, this guy's ranked way above me. I'm going to have to play great. If you go out there and try and do something that you shouldn't, end up playing bad and getting smoked,
sure,
because you're trying to be somebody you're not. You know, whereas if you have that confidence, you walk out there and think, oh, yeah, I don't think this guy is any better than me. I can play my game. I can find out a way to win. And next thing you know, you make a way to make it happen.
Definitely.
It's so funny because Samdev Devarman is a very consistent baseliner. He's a runner. And everybody plays against him. They've seen his results. They know his skill level. They know he's a great player. So they step out there and try and just blast balls. and in turn lose really fast. And you're like, man, you know, you're a great player yourself. If you would have taken the time to find out a strategy to try and make things work rather than just trying to be a god, maybe you could have gotten it done.
Sure.
Works out nicely for Sami, though, because he can just let other people lose.
Absolutely. All right, well, and confidence, I mean, that's another topic that we could easily spend a whole show on, talking about how to develop it and how important it is. But great insights there, Jay, and thanks very much for joining me. It's been a great show, and I've enjoyed talking to you, and I know that my listeners are going to appreciate it as well. So thanks very much for spending your time with us, and hopefully in the future we can have you back on the show again.
I hope so. Thank you for the time, and I'll see everybody on the forums.
All right, Jay, take care. All right, that brings this episode of the Essential Tennis Podcast to a close. Thank you so much for joining me today and taking the time to listen to this show. As you heard me and Jay talking about, we have forums at EssentialTennis.com. Feel free to drop by. It's a great place to spend time with other tennis enthusiasts, people who love the game and who are trying hard to get better, who are trying to find good information and good instruction. And that's what I'm always striving to bring you guys at EssentialTennis.com. Best instruction and input possible to help you all improve your games. Well, I hope you all have a great week. Take care and good luck with your tennis.